Everybody else, turn to John chapter 14 if you have a Bible. Turn to John chapter 14. We're going to kind of start there to kind of set up what we're talking about, and then we're going to bounce a little bit. We're going to bounce around a little bit like we did last week. You're going to use a lot of scripture to help back up what we're trying to say, what we're trying to learn, the things we're trying to get through our heads and our hearts this morning. Started a sermon series last week called Why, and we're just asking questions. Last week was, why don't I always feel God? And that's a pretty valid question, right? I mean, why don't we always feel God? That's something that probably all of us in here have asked at some point. There's another question probably all of us have asked at some point, I would say, and that's today's question, and it's this: why doesn't God answer my prayer? I am going to make you raise your hand on this one. If you've never, ever asked that in your life, raise your hand. You've never asked, why didn't you answer my prayer? Okay, good, that's what I thought. That's an easy one, see? That's easy audience participation because nobody had to raise their hand. Hey, by the way, we have royalty with us this morning. I forgot to mention that earlier. Royalty, a queen in our midst this morning. Mary-Kate, last night, queen of the whole prom. Queen of the whole prom, Mary-Kate Rick. So, congratulations, Mary-Kate. Have you worked on your wave? Mary-Kate, have you worked on your wave? What's it like that? Okay, all right. Good deal. So y'all make sure to congratulate her on that. All right. I forgot. I saw her up there and I forgot to mention it. So here's what it says in John chapter 14, starting in verse 13. Whatever you ask, Jesus is saying this, by the way, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then if that's not enough, verse 14, he goes a step further and says it again. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. You're like, Justin, that verse doesn't help me, because I think about that verse, or I think about, I've heard that before somewhere, and here I have, and I've prayed, and God hasn't answered my prayer. You remember stories maybe in the Bible of Daniel who prayed and these hungry lions all of a sudden weren't hungry for a whole night when he was down in the den with them. And you're like, I don't have that kind of pull with God, evidently. Or maybe you remember when Joshua prayed in the Old Testament and the sun stood still for a whole day. Maybe you remember Jonah swallowed by this great fish and he prays and he's released. That's the nice way to say it, Carl. He's released up on the bank back on dry ground because he prayed. But we pray and sometimes nothing happens, right? So that verse doesn't really help us if we don't know what it means. Sometimes it's more serious than just praying. Maybe you've prayed for a sick loved one and they died. That's when it gets real. Maybe you've prayed to conceive a child and it's just not happened. Maybe you prayed when you were younger your parents wouldn't get a divorce because they fought all the time, and not only did they get a divorce, it was an ugly divorce, and you always go back to that. You remember that, and you say, God, why didn't you answer my prayers? Maybe you've prayed for a person to know Jesus that doesn't know Jesus, and you're like, man, just show me a little bit. Just push this person a little bit towards Jesus. And they go the opposite way. Sometimes prayer is not just these frilly prayers and they're selfish prayers, because sometimes we pray pretty selfish prayers. Help me win the lottery. Help me win $1 million. I used to pray whenever we would hire a new pastor at my home church. I would always pray, God, just let him have a good-looking daughter. Please, that's all I want. Just a good-looking daughter. Sometimes we pray those selfish prayers. But sometimes they're not selfish. And why doesn't God answer them? Now, I can see why God doesn't answer some of them, right? But why doesn't God answer our prayers? I've got a few thoughts this morning that I want to go through. And again, this is not an exhaustive list. There's other reasons maybe why God won't answer a prayer or hasn't answered a prayer or didn't answer it the way you wanted Him to answer it. But this is just a little list this morning. The first one is this. And we remember the scripture we read that whatever we ask in Jesus' name, He's going to do for us. But the first thought is this, is maybe you're just not right with God. We talked last week about maybe we don't feel God because we put walls of sin in between us and God. It's kind of a similar thought. And actually, a lot of last week of why we don't feel God can translate into why God doesn't feel like He answers our prayers sometimes. But maybe you're just not right with God. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus says this: "Therefore I tell you, everything you pray and ask for, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." Again, that verse by itself doesn't help, does it? You're like, well, I do believe, I do think I'm going to get, I think this is going to happen. But verse 25 goes on and continues. He says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you of your wrongdoing." You're like, how does that have to do with answering my prayer? Yeah, I've got something against so-and-so, but what's that got to do with God answering my prayer? Well, here's what it has to do. When you have a broken relationship with somebody else, do you know what that does with your relationship to Jesus? That means that it's broken as well. Now, it doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean you're not a follower of Jesus, just like last week of not feeling God because you put walls of sin in between you and Him. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means you're not right with Him. You're not on the right. You're not on the same page anymore. You have drifted away. Yeah, you're still God's son. You're still God's daughter, but you've drifted away. You're not right. The relationship isn't right. And it's not right maybe because it's not right with somebody else. Maybe it's just not right with God. Maybe it's just Him. But here in Mark, Jesus highlights a time where if you're praying, you ought to go ask for forgiveness from somebody else so that God can forgive you, because when you have a broken relationship with others, it means you have a broken relationship with God. Jesus says in Scripture you can't love God and hate your brother, right? Why is that? Not because it does anything for your brother that you hate, or does or doesn't do anything for him. It's because it breaks your relationship with God also. It harms your relationship with God when your relationship with others is harmed. Jesus, talking about offering a gift at the altar in Matthew chapter 5, says, hey, even if you're given a gift at the altar and you realize you've got something against somebody, set the gift down, get away, and go get that fixed. Now, that's just one instance of not being right with God, but not being right with God is a pretty good reason for Him not to be able to hear our prayers. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, "If I had been aware of malice," or maybe your version says, "If I had ever cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me." When we allow sin to come in, when we allow things that come in that make us not right with God, there are times where He may not listen to the prayers that we pray. We might be praying for something really good, but He might be waiting for the prayer of, you know what, God, I messed up. Man, put me back in right relationship with you. Put me back in right relationship with this other person. Put my mind back where it needs to be. Put my heart back where it needs to be, close to you. Maybe that's the prayer He's waiting on, and you're over here praying for a new boat or for so-and-so to like you better or for your job to get better. And all those things might be important. He just wants you to come back to Him. Maybe you're not right with God. Maybe that's a reason. You know, there are a lot of promises about the power of prayer in Scripture, but I believe every single one of those promises apply to walking in fellowship and relationship with God. Never does He say in the Bible, and if there is one, find it, but never does I believe He says in the Bible, you know what, you can live however you want, treat people however you want, have whatever kind of life you want, and then just pray and everything's going to be okay. I'll come to you. I'll fix everything. But you just keep living however you want. He never says that. Never says that. So maybe you're just not right with God. Second thing I thought of was this. Maybe something inside of you needs to change. And that's not being not right with God. That's just meaning there's some personality things, or there's some thoughts you've had that maybe are not where God needs them to be for you to be able to ask for something. Here's what I mean by that. James 4:3 says this: "You ask and you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives." Something inside of you has the wrong motive about why you're asking. And he says you're not going to receive because you're asking with the wrong motives. Why? Because you want to use it on your pleasures, on your own pleasures. Justin praying for a pastor with a cute daughter. That had nothing to do with God. That was not a prayer he should have listened to. It was not a prayer he should have made happen, right? Because my motives were wrong. I didn't want a cute preacher's daughter so I could share Jesus with her. That wasn't what it was, right? Sometimes something in us needs to change. Even when we pray for something that can be considered good, if we do it with the wrong motives, God's not going to honor it. The Pharisees, Jesus talked about them in the New Testament. The Pharisees would get up and they would stand up at church and the line would go up close to the altar and they would pray, and they would pray really loud or really boisterous, and they would make sure everybody saw them. But that was the reason that they prayed, not so God would hear them, but so that others would see them. Prayer's good, and prayer to God is even great. But when you're doing it with the wrong motives, even the good cannot be right sometimes. God, help me, bless my business, God. But in the back of your mind, you're going, because I really want to retire early. Well, that's not the prayer God wants to hear. That's the wrong motives. God, help me win the lottery, and I'll give half of it to the church. No, you won't, because when you get all that money, you'll go, you know what? $50,000 is really a lot of money. I know I said I'd give half, but, $50,000 is a lot of money. I'm just going to write a check for that. Because your motives are wrong. Because when you see money, you're going to want more money, right? That's how it works. So the things we pray for, even though they might be good, maybe sometimes something needs to change within us when we pray. Maybe God wants to do something in you before he can do something for you. Maybe that's where we stand. Proverbs 16:2 says, all a person's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the motives. God knows. God knows why you're praying what you're praying. He knows exactly why you're praying what you're praying. And I believe sometimes God gives us a no or a wait or something to keep us away from the things we want in order to see the things he wants for us. Maybe that's why something inside of us needs to change so we can actually see what God wants, not what Justin wants. Next one I thought of was this. Maybe you don't really believe God will do what you're praying for. Now listen, this is not what this means. This doesn't mean name it and claim it. Well, I'm going to pray for this, and we use words like this. I'm going to manifest this through my prayer, and I'm going to pray about this, and I'm going to trust God to do it. That's okay, and you ought to trust God to do it. But that doesn't mean he's a cosmic bubblegum machine that every time you pray a sincere prayer, just because you prayed it and you were sincere and you've prayed it a bunch and you've claimed it or manifested it or whatever in your life, that doesn't mean he's going to do something about it like you want him to do something about it. Mark 9, verse 22. These guys bring Jesus to this man who is tormented by this evil spirit. And they didn't know what to do about it. They couldn't do anything about it. And they asked Jesus this. They tell him about it, verse 22. They say, many times it has even thrown him into the fire or water to destroy him. But look what they say. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us, if you can. And that's exactly what Jesus says back to him. Jesus said to him, if you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. There's a difference between God can and God will. Did you know that? God can do anything he wants. I'm sure most of us in here believe that. God can do anything he wants, but what will God do? There's a difference there. There's a difference. God can take you out of a situation you've been praying about, but I tell you what he will do. God will help you be a witness for him in that situation every single time. You might be in a bad work environment. You want to get out of it so bad you can't see straight. God can take you out of that. He sure can. But while you're there, God can use you for his glory. He will use you for his glory while you're there. God can heal you physically. He can do that. Absolutely can heal you physically. Better than any doctor or medicine around. But God will always give you the faith to know that he has everything under control, even if he doesn't choose to heal you. That's the difference. That's the difference in God can and God will. God will do all things for his glory, not your comfort. Never says in the Bible, you know what? Jesus wants everybody to be comfortable and everybody to be healthy. You have people that say that. Well, God wants you healthy. God wants you to have a lot of money. No, he doesn't. He wants to use you for His glory is what He wants to do. That's His will. Can God do those things for you? Absolutely, He can do anything He wants. But God will use you for His glory. Just because God can doesn't always mean that He will. James 1, verses 6 and 7, James, the brother of Jesus, says this, "But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord." Faith means that our relationship with God is right. And faith means that whatever He does, we know He's got it under control. Faith doesn't mean you can manifest healings in your life, or you can manifest money in your life, or you can manifest God to get you out of that job you don't like to be in. That's not what faith is. Faith means that you know God, whatever you pray about, God's got it under control, and He's going to answer it for His glory, not always ours. Another thing I thought of was this. It kind of goes with what we just talked about. Maybe your prayers don't always line up with God's will, because that's different. It's different than our will. In 1 John chapter 5, John says this, "This is the confidence we have before Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." A lot of us like to use that verse, or we've heard people that have used that verse, and we'll use, "If we ask anything, He hears us." And then you go on to the next one. "And if we know what He hears, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him." And we'll use those verses, but we leave out "according to His will." God's will is so much better than ours. God's ways are so much better than ours. Sometimes our prayers don't line up with that "better than ours," God's will. Sometimes our prayers line up with, "Well, Justin thinks this is going to be best, so I'm going to pray for this, and this is my will, this is what I want done." But God's like, "Man, I got so much better for you. You just need to be quiet and listen to me for a little bit. You just need to be quiet and listen to what I'm trying to tell you. I've got so much better for you. And it might not be immediately, but it's going to happen. It's coming. I've got this." It's not a name it and claim it thing where you can just pray it, and just because you've prayed it enough, God's going to do it. It's according to God's will. Pray hard enough and you'll get this. No, that's not right. Pray hard enough and you might learn God's will through the process, and then you'll know what He's trying to do. You know how I know that? Because in Scripture it tells us. Paul, 3 times he said, "I prayed for God to remove this thing out of my life, this thing that was bothering me, it was a hindrance to my life. I prayed 3 times for it, and 3 times God said what? No, not going to do it. Not going to do it." And he goes on and he says that God told him, "My grace is sufficient for you." That was God's will for him, to learn that God's grace was so powerful, it was enough to pull him through. "God, get me out of this. God, get this away from me. God, take care of this in my life." And God said, "No, no, no. My grace is good enough. You don't need that out of your life. You just need more of me." That's what God's will was for him. Paul was a great, great man. If anybody could have prayed something into existence and twisted God's arm to make him do something, don't you think it would have been Paul? Maybe not Paul. What about Jesus? Do you know Jesus prayed and didn't have a prayer answered the way He wanted? This is not up on the screen, but Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, He's down and He's praying. You remember what He says? "Lord, if Father, if there's any way, and if You're willing to do it, take this cup away from me. But not my will, but Yours be done." He was saying, "You know what, God? I don't know if I want to go through this. These guys are knuckleheads, and there's going to be more knuckleheads one day in Cadiz, Kentucky, and I'm going to die for them too. And they're going to be sinners, and people are going to hate me, and they're going to hate me for the rest of the time. And what? How can I get out of this? Please get me out of this, Dad." That's what He was saying. "Please get me out of this." And you know how the story went, maybe. God didn't get him out of it. God had him nailed to a cross so our sins could be forgiven. God had him nailed to a cross so He could die for our sins, so He could rise on the third day to defeat sin and death in our life. It wasn't God's will for Jesus to let that cup pass before Jesus. It wasn't God's will for Him not to go through that suffering. That's scary. Because if he wouldn't answer a prayer for Jesus, just because Jesus prayed it, what makes us think he's going to just up and answer our prayers? Again, I'm telling you, God's not this cosmic bubblegum machine that we can put in a quarter prayer and he pops a gumball out. It doesn't happen like that. Maybe we don't know enough of God's will to pray for God's will. You know how you learn it? You get in God's Word. Get in God's Word to learn God's will. Maybe you've got a personal bias you've been praying for instead and not God's will. Maybe you're just biased towards something. Pray for God's will. Maybe God's will is right, but maybe the timing is not right. Maybe that's the way it is. And that's okay too. Pray God's will. Last thing I heard was, or thought of, was this. Maybe God's delaying his answer until eternity hits. Sometimes that happens. I believe that. Sometimes that happens. God's not apathetic. He's not. He cares about our prayers. He wants to hear from us. Revelation chapter 5, there's a pretty cool section in there. It's John has this vision of heaven, and he sees the Lamb, which is Jesus. And part of when he sees the Lamb, that says that there's the people surrounding him have these bowls and there's incense in them and smoke coming up from this incense. And it said, those are the prayers of the saints. And you say, well, saints are in heaven, aren't they? Isn't that what some people pray to are saints? No. Saints are here on earth. When you're saved, you're a saint. Ephesians 1:1 calls us saints. We're saints if we're here on earth. So that means God hears our prayers. That incense going up like smoke, we said it was the prayers of the saints, and it went straight to Jesus. So Jesus hears our prayers. It's not that he doesn't care. It's not that he doesn't listen. He hears our prayers when they're in his will, when they're prayed with the right motives. He hears our prayers. But maybe he's waiting to answer those with the promise of eternity. Here's what I mean by that. Have you prayed for healing? It's going to happen in eternity. Healing is going to happen in eternity. You prayed for answered questions? Eternity is going to answer all those questions. Prayed for restoration somehow? A relationship, somehow in your life, whatever. Or just some kind of restoration? It's going to happen in eternity. You know how I know that? Because in Revelation, you go towards the end and it says God's going to wipe away every tear from our eye. He's going to make all things new. That means all the pain we experience, all the broken bodies we have, all the broken relationships we have, all the broken desires that we've had, all that stuff is going to be mended. It's going to be mended perfectly. And sometimes that doesn't happen until eternity. Well, Justin, that doesn't help me here on earth. I prayed and he didn't do it. Well, you better know him then, because it's going to happen in eternity. He's going to fix all that. Yeah, but what about now? Listen, you can go through a little bit of junk to spend eternity with Jesus. I think so. I think you can go through a little bit of stuff here on earth, because it's not perfect. Because sin came in the very beginning of Genesis. Sin came in through two humans who did wrong, and it's ruined the whole world since then. It's ruined the whole world since then. So no, it's not going to be perfect. No, God's not going to answer every prayer. No, you're not going to get your way every time. But in heaven, all things are going to be new. And in heaven, all things are going to be fixed and mended. Relationships and health and all things are going to be mended in heaven. Prayer's not as much about your and I, my wants. Prayer's more about God's will. And it always will be. It always will be. So pray God's will. Trust Him. Have the faith to know that He will do what He said He's going to do. He didn't say He would always heal us. He didn't say He would always make things perfect for us. But He did say He wanted us to share His Word with people. He did say He'd give us peace that passes all understanding. He did say He would comfort us. He said all of that stuff. So He will do those things. Trust in the things He will do. Pray for the things that He will do. Pray for God's will to be real in your life, and pray that you would know God's will.
Get in His Word and study what His will is. See the things that He really does want to do for you. Don't just listen to the dude on the TV who preaches and you or on TikTok and you think, well, that guy sounds good. He must be right. He might not be right. Get into God's Word. I might not be right. Get into God's Word. Study it. Maybe those are the reasons that God feels like God's not answering your prayers. And then the biggest one, I think, and this is for a whole totally different set of people, all of those other ones are really for people who do know Jesus and trust Jesus. They know they've been saved. But if you don't know Jesus, He's not answering a prayer. He's not. He's not going to. He's going to answer one prayer first, and it's going to be this one. Jesus, I need You in my life. Jesus, I need You to save me. Jesus, I need You to come in and forgive me. Jesus, I know that You came, You died on a cross for me, and I'm so grateful for that. Nobody else has ever done that for me, and I'm grateful that You came and You gave Your body as a sacrifice for me, the final sacrifice that would ever be needed to forgive me of my sins and to fix everything in my life. And Jesus, I know You rose on the third day, and I know You're living in heaven today, and I know You're coming back for me one day. Come in and live in my life, Jesus. That's the prayer. If you don't know Jesus, that's the prayer He hears. Do you know Jesus today? Is that the prayer you need to pray today? Do you need to ask Jesus to come in and to save you and to give you a brand new life? Because that's what He's waiting on. If you don't know Him today, that's the prayer He's waiting to pray, waiting to hear you pray. And then the rest of us, man, we've really got to evaluate our prayer time, right? What are we praying for? Are we praying our will or God's will? Let's pray. Lord, we love You. And we thank You today, Jesus, for all that You do for us. I thank You for not answering every prayer I pray. Because, man, what a mess this place would be if You listened to Justin's will all the time. Or if You did things just because I wanted them. Or because of my motives behind them, Lord. You just went ahead and did them. Man, what a messed up place this would be. But You don't. You don't do that for any of us because You're perfect and Your will is best. So, Jesus, help us to realize that. Help us to have the faith as Christians to know that however You answer, whether it's a yes, no, maybe, wait, whatever it is, Jesus, that You've got something working in for us anyway. And that Your ways are perfect and Your ways are best. Help us to believe that. Lord, help us to know Your will. Help us to know what it is You're trying to do. Help us to know the things that You are going to do for us and that You will do for us. Lord, even before we pray, help us to know that You do want to make us an example for You. You do want to use us, Lord, for Your will. You do want to use us to share Your love with others. You do want to give us peace, and You do want to give us comfort like only You can. Help us to know those things about You, Jesus. And then, Lord, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know You, they never turned their life over to You, my prayer is that today they would pray that first prayer you'll ever hear, I believe, that they would hear You, that You would hear them, Jesus. Put themselves aside and put You right in the center of their life. Jesus, help them to pray that prayer today. Lord, there'll be a party in heaven if somebody would do that. We love You, Jesus. Be with us as we sing this song. Move in our hearts, we ask it in Your name. Amen.